You can't do this. I heard you do it on Saturday.
I was going to say, I talked about it on the weekend.
You can't do it on Saturday,
like,
then take Sunday, Monday off, and then do it again on Tuesday.
It's just a weird feeling for me, because in previous jobs, it's been like, I've been like an office job. So that's easy. Like, you're doing the same mundane things every day.
Yeah.
With this, it's like every day is a new adventure. So you can't just like show up and like coast through a show. It's just impossible. Like, you'll get exposed that way.
It's really not a thing, yeah. But you definitely can't tell people on Saturday when you're going on vacation on Wednesday. Like, I'm 1 foot out the door, guys. Just need a whole 5 days before I go on my vacation.
No. I'm here. I'm locked in. We're not leaving till tomorrow afternoon. So I have some time.
Did you hear your audio from Saturday that made it to the show yesterday?
I did not. What did you use?
All right. Mac's going to play it for you, and then we'll have you defend your take really quickly. We got a bunch to get into with the Browns. We got a lot to get into with the Guardians as well, a bunch to get into with the Cavs. We'll touch them all today. This is what you had to say on Saturday. Here we go.
Promise you I will not sandbag my way through afternoon drive. That's not going to happen. Nick won't let that happen, frankly, because if I do, it'll just turn into a bunch of clips and cuts that they'll just use against me every time I fill in. So I'm not going to let that happen. I cannot slip when it comes to that show. Oh, wait, except you know what? I forgot I'm in for Nick, not for JP. JP will be nicer about it. JP isn't the one who cuts stuff that I say that might not sound as intelligent and then turns it into clips. That's totally a Nick thing.
We're just going to let the record show that you think I'm much nicer than Nick. That's all I played that for.
As soon as it started, I was like, I know exactly what clip this is now. Yeah.
Well, I hope you'd remember. It wasn't 27 days ago.
Nick is 100% the one who, when he has like somebody filling in, I think he goes into the show like just waiting, like lurking for
it's
that
person
to
slip up. It's not just when people fill in, by the way.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
People don't understand. This is my constant 24/7 battle that I live with, but it's okay because we're good friends and we get along well. And then obviously, I just feel like I like it. I don't hate it. I embrace it. And so then, like, part of my game is trapping Nick in certain ways. And you can hear when that happens.
Yeah.
And it happens pretty often. And part of his game is then when somebody makes a mistake or messes up, he likes to highlight it. Unfortunately for him, we just don't make that many mistakes, Spencer.
Yeah, that's fair. You guys are a very astute show, I would say.
That's all that is.
Yeah, no, listen, every time I'm here with Nick, I come in, I don't want to say I'm like walking on eggshells, but like I'm always like a little more hesitant. Like, can I fully be myself today? Or do I have to like dial it back a little bit so that Nick doesn't get me impression?
Can you fully be yourself today? Or not? With me, you can always fully be yourself.
Yeah,
you need to know that, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I want you
to have the comfort to understand that you can be your full self. I want you to push back in any regard. I want you to just be you.
The number of times that I already know, like, I'm not good at impressions whatsoever.
Yeah, but when I'm not either.
When I try to like impersonate somebody, I usually just make up a random voice. Like, I don't necessarily think it has to sound like that person. Like, I do the same voice I'd probably do it for, like, my mother lecturing me as I would for, like, some random person having a
stupid take on
ESPN.
So what's that sound like? Pretend your mother is breaking down Lonzo Ball to the Cavs. What's that sound like for people?
I mean, I don't know. I just whatever comes off the cuff is what I would use. But then Nick...
I want to hear the off-the-cuff impression.
Nick tries to get me to do that then for, like, everything. And I'm just like, this is not what I was... Like, I just was, like, making up a voice. I wasn't, like, trying to impersonate. And he's like, can you do that again? Like, you try to get me to do it, like, 20 times? It's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
Nick took great offense to that clip, by the way. He took great offense to that clip, and you're going to pay for it.
Maybe if he would invite me over for burgers. You know, I was pretty low on his barbecue list when you guys did that one day.
I wasn't there for that. That was like the one day I had off.
Yeah, you're right. You were out. But this all started because there was a day I was filling in for you, I think, around the draft where he was like, yeah, we're not really burger friends, Spencer, sorry. And so I took offense to that.
Not burger friends.
And then it got to, and I understand, like, there's a hierarchy here. Like, I understood there was going to be people ahead of me, but to not be burger friends, like, we hosted a podcast together, my friend. Like, what are we talking about here? And so then it turned into that conversation, and I wasn't even in the honorable mention. I was like, what is going on here?
Well, I think you're my burger friend. I'd invite you over for a cookout.
I consider you a burger friend as well.
I didn't know there was such a line. All right. No, I was just getting tagged. I was out for one day. I got tagged in so many different responses to this big cookout. I was number one on the list, so I didn't feel bad. But he had to put me at number one.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there was any other choice for him that way. If he didn't put me at number one, it would have been surprising.
I also know that you guys are friends. Like, you guys were friends before you did a show together. You guys have always talked about how close you were.
We've been friends for 9 years. Right. So at the station, he's been my favorite person at the station for 9 years.
So I expected that you would be on the list, and I thought you would probably be very high on the list. But then he went through the top five, and I was like, okay, fine, I'm not in the top five. But then I wasn't even honorable mention. So
that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care if my clip upset Nick, okay? Because apparently we're not burger friends.
Okay, I like I like this turn. In the ever-evolving world of me just getting these rivalries with Nick, Nick and Mac, the ongoing feud, is Nick pays him $25 an hour to house sit this week. You and Nick, I don't know, maybe Jake and Nick are going to have a thing before we even know it. I'm not sure. But he can't defend himself today, so no more of that. What I want to talk with you about is something that we really honestly had not spent much time talking about. I feel like every other show has spent a bunch of time talking about Brooke Park and the stadium deal and everything associated with it. And I was in the I'll wait until it's over. Like, give me a resolution, and then I'll jump into the pool, and we can have the conversation. Well, I think we finally have a resolution, as it feels like it's all but done. But what's interesting to me today, Spencer, is just this back and forth between people that can't accept the idea that they're going to be going to Brooke Park, and the other part of the people, the national contingent, that doesn't understand whether or not this is an advantage or isn't an advantage for the Browns, and I'm back to being exhausted by the Brooke Park conversation.
Has Chris Ronayan said anything yet? Like, hey, it's not over till it's over. Has he jumped in with anything?
He did that a couple days ago. I have not heard from Chris Ronayan yet. The dog is apparently still hunting. We haven't yet found out. But
it's lost.
The dog is lost. He got away from the leash. Nobody can find him. He's doing dog whistles now. He's just trying ridiculous. To make sure you can get anything to come back.
Just ridiculous.
I'm sure we'll hear from him soon. I'm sure we will.
Yes.
But if there's anybody that held out hope that this was going anywhere but Brooke Park, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
The Browns are moving.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, and we knew this is where it was headed. I mean, Daryl obviously has been so on top of this the entire time. And every time you guys have had him on, the more whatever show's had him on, he's always had some new update almost. It's felt like on, hey, this is where things are at. This is what's coming. And spent the last month just leading up to yesterday.
It's definitely felt way more political than it has sports convos.
For sure. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I think things kind of got away from just the sports side of it. Like when this all started, it was a lot of the fun, the more enjoyable, I should say, conversation of like, hey, if the Browns leave, like, is it a disadvantage that they don't have, that they play in a dome? Like,
and then we'll talk about some of those things, because I want to do that.
The nostalgia of the team playing downtown for as many years as it did. Like, those conversations were more enjoyable, I think, for us than getting into all the political, like, war of words that was going on. Like, that became
I'll tell you the most enjoyable conversation and what I want to have at some point today, we could just do it right now even, is that idea. Like, is this going to help out the Browns 4 years from now or not? Right, the people that are trying to say, like, Florio today, how many more teams will give up their weather advantage in pursuit of more money from being able to host more events? Name me the advantage the Browns have had.
If the eye roll had a sound, you could have heard my eye roll.
But I do think it is interesting to think about. I mean, it's something like Miami, for instance. They take Tua. The gamblers know this, okay? If you're a gambler, you know the quarterbacks that are absolutely atrocious in cold weather games. Tua 2 years ago, Dolphins had a great season. They find their way in the postseason, looking for their first postseason win in 25 years. What happened? They had a bad draw. They had to go to Kansas City. Facing Kansas City is never easy, but it was Kansas City in a game where, Spencer, people legitimately lost fingers due to frostbite. That's how cold the game was. Not a joke. Look at the news reports. People lost fingers and toes. It was that cold out there. Tua can't play in cold weather. The man's 0-7 in 45 degrees and under weather. He doesn't play in cold weather. Ergo, no one even blamed the Dolphins for losing that game or Tua. It's an accepted result because Tua can't play in cold weather. Jared Goff, get him in Chicago, get him in the cold, and all of a sudden he stinks up the joint. Why? Jared Goff can't play in cold weather. Certain quarterbacks can do it.
Yeah.
But what's interesting for the Browns, this is being looked at as some sort of massive advantage that's gone. I don't necessarily see it that way. I see it like you can open up your ideas to the fact that we no longer have to have a quarterback that's 6'5", 250 in order to try to win games around these parts. We have a whole pool of quarterbacks that we can go and look at.
I think there are two things that largely disprove like the home field advantage conversation. One is go back and rewatch that game against the New Orleans Saints here in Cleveland on, what was it, Christmas Eve, I think.
The David Njoku shirtless game is what that was.
What was it, 2022, 2021? Whatever year. I think it was 2021.
Was it that long ago? I feel like it was 3 years ago, but maybe two years ago.
It was 22.
Okay, so in 2022. Go back and watch that game. And the conversations leading up to it were, hey, it's the Saints. They play in a dome. They're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to play in this weather. Like, this is an easy win for the Browns. And then, what do you know? The Browns struggled more than the Saints did, and the Saints walked out with a win in like -20 degree weather. It was ridiculous. And so that's the first thing.
It's Tennessee coming out for the playoff game against Ohio State. Now, they got waxed in that game, but they tried to show that they could, an SEC team going into Big Ten country. We've talked about that for a million years.
Yes, they did travel well. But so the other part of this, too, and ironically, this kind of relates back to the Saints being a team that plays, that's from Louisiana. I think it was, because I'm pretty sure it was Grant Delpit who said this. I remember this. I don't know why this sticks out of my brain, but he said to us in the media one time that, like, if you really think about it, I'm from Louisiana. Like, I didn't play a lot of games in the cold either. And frankly, if you think the Browns players want to play, like, there's a ton, this roster, David Njoku, you bring it up. Now, he's different because he shows up in every game just wearing no shirt because he thinks, like, that's like this sign of masculinity or whatever before he goes and plays.
Yeah.
But, like, there's every single roster in the NFL is made up of players from down south, from, like, California, Texas, like, places where they don't get cold. And then they're being asked in the NFL to play in this cold weather. How many, like, there's always conversation. Like, when Deshaun first got here, there was plenty of conversations about, like, this guy's never really played in the cold either. Well, he's the quarterback.
He had openly talked about how he didn't want to come to the Browns because of a cold weather and a rainy situation that he played a game in against the Browns here in Cleveland.
Like, so that's the quarterback on your team. Now, granted, it doesn't matter with Deshaun anyway because he looks bad no matter what the weather is, obviously. But regardless, like, there are multiple players on these teams. Like, you, everyone assumes that because you're here, you practice outside sometimes, and you wake up and it's cold outside when you're driving to the practice facility, that you just are accustomed or used to playing in the cold. But players, no matter if it's a team that has a cold weather situation or they don't, these teams are made up of guys who don't really want to play in the cold either. Like, frostbite is frostbite, whether you're on the field playing or you're in the stands.
You know it, and I know it. What's going to happen in 2029, we're going to be going to an open-air Cincinnati. We're going to go into an open-air Pittsburgh. We're going to be going to some of these open-air Baltimore. And the moment the Browns start to struggle in these games, the conversation's going to be, well, if they weren't in that dome. Yeah, it's dumb because, listen, Detroit fans, when Detroit just won double-digit games this last year, they weren't talking about going to open-air Chicago. They weren't talking about doing some of those NFC North trips that do have open-air stadiums. Not all of them. Obviously, Minnesota's a closed door, but open-air Green Bay. They don't talk about things that way, but I know it's going to be the conversation.
It will.
When this thing opens up, although, and it gets going, all of a sudden people are going to wonder if this team has become soft because three of the four teams in the AFC North is open-air stadium.
How long, though, until that's obsolete? Because I do feel like at some point, like, almost every team, maybe, like, there'll be a few outliers, like Lambeau Field being owned by, like, the people or whatever. Like, maybe that'll never become a dome. But it does feel like the NFL is trending towards, like, pretty much most of the 32 teams at some point just building domes.
I mean, well, you'd say you don't build a new one without putting a dome on top, but look at Buffalo.
That's true.
Buffalo kept it open. I mean, I would think if I was running this, I would think everyone would move towards a dome. But I'm looking at Buffalo, and it's not happening everywhere. Like, there is something people like about open air football stadiums, and there is an appeal to that to the people at large. And I think that's why a lot of Clevelanders right now are surprised that this is the route they're going, because I think a lot of Clevelanders looked at ourselves the same way Buffalo did, and like, well, we're too proud to ever be a closed-air stadium. We're too proud to have a dome. We're tough. We're blue-collar. We're hardworking people. We love the cold. We can deal with the cold, and we're born in the cold. This is great for us. And the reality is that you got to be able to do something with a stadium more than nine times a year. You got to be able to do something with a stadium that generates income beyond just the football team, and that's what the Haslams have fallen into in a way that Buffalo just doesn't seem like they have. 216-474-0092. I mean, you know Buffalo very well. They just put that thing out there in Orchard Park and say, everyone, come on over. Wild. The lack of resources and everything else associated with that.
Yeah, I mean, the stadium in Orchard Park, like, now, the nice thing for Buffalo is, like, the Lake Erie usually freezes when it gets cold enough, so they get less lake effect snow as you get deeper into the winter. But those snowstorms that they get, like, in November and December, like the Snowmageddon they had that one time where, like, it shut down I-90.
Yeah.
That stuff is, like, those are some of the worst storms that I've ever had to, like, drive in, be around. Like, those are miserable. Like, you can't see anything. I covered a Bills game where I got there in the morning and it was completely sunny out. And then by the end of the game, it was so much lake effect snow, you couldn't see the field. It was that Colts-Bills game from, like, from 17.
Oh, I remember that game.
Yeah, and I was at that game covering it. And, like, my car went from being, like, completely uncovered to, like, 2 feet of snow on it. It was, I mean, it's awful. So I was surprised Buffalo didn't do that. Now, maybe they built because they do have a little bit of, like, an overhang, where maybe they built it in a way where, like, at some point down the line, they can just cover it the rest of the way, potentially. But yeah, they're the maybe exception to the rule here, because it does feel like more and more teams are just trending towards, once we build new stadiums, we would just put roofs on it and we'll
the money. The money and the revenue generated to having a dome is just, it's so significant. And now the Browns are up for a Super Bowl. They're going to have March Madness, I would imagine. You're going to have all these different college football events. Different things are going to start popping up in a way that will be really good, not only for the city of Cleveland, but also just good for the surrounding areas. 216-474-0092. Are you celebrating the Browns' move to Brook Park? Today is the day where it seems like it's all but official. We have some quotes from Jimmy Haslam will play for you guys, and a new nickname that I just don't understand. I wanted it to be Browns Disneyland.
It's a new podcast, actually, too.
Well, but you can tell where the branding is going. I'm not thrilled about it. 216-474-0092. Are you celebrating the Browns' move to Brook Park? It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.